Ramsey TV.
Martin Zender from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. This is part two of The Purpose of Paul. This was filmed 2 weeks ago as I'm talking to you in Evansville, Indiana. It was a good meeting. I apologize to everyone because I listened to myself yesterday and I heard myself say that I was going to talk for 30 minutes. Well, I ended up talking for an hour, I think. So, well, you know, I just can't shut up about these things. They're great. What did we learn yesterday? We learned that Romans 15:8 is an unknown verse. Romans 15:8, Christ became a minister of the circumcision to confirm the patriarchal promises. What are we going to learn? Oh, and that Paul completed the word of God, Colossians 1:25. What are we going to learn today? I don't know because I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to watch it now, and I'm going to figure out where to have a nice little ending, and looks like I'll be bringing you part three on Wednesday, and then on Thursday, looks like part one of my rant against organized religion. Now, that's going to be something to look forward to. We know that when Christ came to earth, he came as a Greek. No? A Czech. No? An American. No? An Aussie. No? An Inuit. Came to Alaska. He came as an Israelite male. Let me ask you this. Do you think that before Jesus Christ came to earth, you think he was an Israelite male? When he was at the right hand of God, before he came to earth, was he an Israelite male? Well, let me ask you another question that's related. Do you think that after Jesus Christ left the earth, he remained an Israelite male? I'm going to answer these questions in short order. Now, there was always passages in Matthew that just drove me crazy when I started to really study the scriptures in earnest. And this inspired me to write this book. And my friend Chris is correct. I am not here to sell books. I'm here to give away books. And after I'm done, I'm going to explain to you why I wrote this book. It has to do with what I'm talking to you about here. In Matthew 15, verse 21, a curious passage. And coming out thence, Jesus retires into parts of Tyre and Sidon. And lo, a Canaanitish woman, non-Israelite, coming out from the boundaries, cried, saying, "Be merciful to me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is evilly demonized." Yet he answered her not a word. Pretty rough. And approaching his disciples asked him, saying, "Dismiss her, for she is crying behind us." Get rid of this woman. She's irritating us. Verse 24. Now he answering said, "I was not commissioned except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Wow, I was not commissioned except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That kind of agrees with what Paul says very succinctly. This declares it outright in Romans 15:8. And this is such a straightforward statement of Paul's. I mean, it is in a nutshell, this is it. But who believes this? I am saying that Christ has become the servant of the circumcision, for the sake of the truth of God, to confirm the patriarchal promises, to confirm them. So he came after this long silence of 400 years or something between Malachi and Matthew. And he comes as their Messiah. And he says, yes, don't forget Abraham. Don't forget the promises my father made to you through Abraham. I am here to fulfill them. Just because it was made 2,000 years ago, God is not slack concerning his promises, so I'm here to confirm that. And that's all he did. When he was on earth, he had a limit, and this is the shock, but this turns everything. Everything turns on this, I should say. The shock is to believe what Paul says, that Jesus became a minister of the circumcision. Proves it, Matthew 15:24. "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Well, it turns out this woman has to beg him, and she does, and he finally throws her a scrap. And he says something horrible to her in verse 26. "It is not ideal to be taking the children's bread and to be casting it to the puppies, to the dogs." Because to Israel, anybody who was not an Israelite was a dog. Surely Jesus doesn't have that opinion. He's the Son of God. He's the Grace Meister. Called her a dog. What's happening here? And the other mysterious passage to me was always Matthew 10:5, which is this. Jesus, he commissions, that word is used, I just noticed this actually. This word commissions is used here in Matthew 10:5, same word that we just read in Matthew 15:24. I was not commissioned except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So in verse 5 of Matthew 10, these 12, Jesus commissions, charging them, sending them out to proclaim the gospel, which I was told Jesus is putting out your one and only chance to be saved. Jesus is announcing the gospel to all humanity, and whatever he says, the words were written in red, this is your only chance to be saved. And either you believe in this man and what he's saying, or you go to hell for eternity. Jesus' words were profound, yes. Jesus Christ went and proclaimed the gospel, yes. But I was told that this proclamation while he was on earth was your one and only chance to be saved. To pay attention, for us modern people, pay attention to Jesus' words. Because like in that day, in this day, unless you pay attention to his words, you will go to hell for eternity. But listen to what happens in Matthew 10:5. These 12 Jesus commissions, charging them, saying, into a road of the nations you may not pass forth, into a city of the Samaritans, which were near relatives of Israel, you shall not be entering, yet be going rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now going herald, saying, near is the kingdom of the heavens. It's a funny way, if you're proclaiming a message to the entire world, to believe and be saved or not believe and be damned for eternity. It's a funny way to publish it. When you tell your heralds, when you tell your messengers, when you tell your disciples to not go to 99.9% of the people. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. These two verses in Matthew and others are answered by Paul. You have to get it by inference here. Or I should say, if you read Matthew, you wonder, why did Jesus do that? Why did he tell them? This is always a mystery to all of us, I think, going to church. It's like, why did Jesus tell his disciples not to go to the nations? Why did he say I was not commissioned except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Because maybe he knew what he was talking about. Maybe Jesus knew that he was, and maybe Paul knew what he was talking about. Maybe Matthew was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Maybe Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's actually true that when Jesus Christ was on the earth, he was a minister of the circumcision to confirm the patriarchal promises. Where do you get that crazy idea, Martin? Romans 15:8. How does this explain Paul? What does this have to do with Paul? Why is Paul even saying this to the Romans? Who cares? It's this. Because when our Lord was on the earth, some of you already know this, some of you maybe don't. Many listening maybe have never heard this. His ministry was limited. He purposely limited himself. Just look at how he came into the world. As a baby in a cow trough to a poor couple from Nazareth who couldn't even find a room to stay in Bethlehem when they went there for the census. And he came as an Israelite, as the son of David. Remember that I just read that woman from Canaan who begged him, son of David, son of David. When she claimed the name David, he would not do anything because she has no claim on him as the son of David. That woman from Canaan has no claim on him. You and I, we have no claim on the promises of Jesus Christ or the promises made to Abraham. We have no claim on David. Only the Israelites had claim to that name. And she finally says, master, help. She finally just used a generic term for, sir, please. And when she dropped David, then he helped her. When she dropped David. And we see this all through Scripture. So the shock for me was learning that this Son of God limited himself. Do you remember what he said to Nicodemus when Nicodemus came to him by night? Nicodemus was afraid of his peers. He didn't want them to see him talking to this radical, so he came by night. And Jesus said, ye must be born again, speaking of the nation, Israel. And Nicodemus scratches his head. You mean, how can a man come out of his mother a second time? And Jesus, it's not written, but I believe Jesus rolled his eyes. Like, you're a teacher in Israel and you don't know these things? You don't even know the terrestrial things. I tell you of terrestrial things. Again, limiting himself. I'm telling you, this is in John 3. I'm telling you of the terrestrial. I'm telling you of terra firma and you're not believing. What if I should be telling you of celestial things? But zip, nope, nada, nothing about celestial things. All the ground, which is very appropriate because Abraham's promise to Abraham was, through you and your seed, all the nations of the ground, the earth, shall be blessed. The meek will inherit the earth. Perfectly consistent. Earth, earth, earth. Jesus said, if I should be telling you about the celestials, you can't even understand this basic stuff, Mr. Priest. You should be embarrassed of yourself. Okay. Our Lord limited himself. And it's not until this man, Saul, is called on the road to Damascus after Jesus' death, entombment, and resurrection that, I'll say this, it might sound funny to some, I don't mean to be sacrilegious or anything, but our Lord finally could relieve himself of his Jew suit and be what he was, the effervescent, all-powerful Son of God, who is more than an Israelite male. When we see him in the four accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's a shock to hear, but we must limit him. We must limit him. That sounds like blasphemy. We must limit the Son of God because he limits himself. Are we smarter than he is? Oh no, we won't have this for you. You're preaching to the whole world. We think we're doing him a favor. We're improving his resume. We're enhancing him. We're trying to help him. And he's calling back at us. No. Don't do that because you're going to ruin the whole story. When I was on the earth, I was limited. I limited myself. There was tons of things I didn't say. I'm paraphrasing. If you'll allow me this, I'm paraphrasing Jesus. There are lots I didn't say on earth. I was humble. I was dirty. I was tired. I was thirsty. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was born to a poor Jewish couple. I obeyed the law. I went to the temple three times a year. I fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law of Moses. And I confirmed the patriarchal promises, the promises God made to Abraham. I told you, yes, they're still on. Don't give up on them. But I'm the answer. I will fulfill the law for you because you have proven over the centuries that you can't do it, which was the design of the law. Now, I am the one who perfectly fulfills it, and you put your trust and your hope in me, and I will lead you into the promised kingdom, the kingdom that God, my Father, promised you through Abraham. It's real, and it's near, but you have to put your faith in me. I am the high priest. I'm the new priest, and I will carry you over the line. Because you can't carry yourself over the line. Put your trust in me. That was his message when he was on the earth. Of course, we know what happened. You know how that story ended. They didn't trust in him. They crucified him, which was part of the plan. But they had to wonder, as Peter, James, and John, and those few people who are at the cross, they had to wonder why the horror of the cross. Why not a simple sacrifice? Why not a simple slit of the throat? If Jesus is the antitype, if he's the lamb slain, then why wouldn't it be an imitation of the lambs that were slain on the altar? Put Jesus on an altar, take a knife, ugly, God forbid, but okay, slit his throat, and then that's the ultimate sacrifice, no more sacrifice, needs to be done. What's with this humiliation, spitting, scourging, crown of thorns, nailed to a cross by the Romans? Where is that in the Old Testament? Find me that in any Old Testament prophecy. Find me that in any type and shadow from the law. Find me that. You won't, because something different was happening. What was happening was Jesus Christ was doing something far beyond, on the cross, far beyond Israel. Far beyond Israel. But all his disciples knew was Israel, Israel. That's all they thought of. Like I told you, they woke up, they ate, they slept, they went to bed thinking about the kingdom on earth. We're going to be great. We're going to be the head of all the nations and not the tail. And we're going to rule the world from this place, Jerusalem. And this is the man, the Messiah, promised by the prophets, is here. But what's with this? What's with this cross? And that's what I wondered. I'm back to me in the Catholic Church looking up at that cross saying, why? But even the disciples asked that question. They didn't understand it a bit. No idea. In fact, did you know that Peter, at Pentecost, when he gives his famous inspired speech, the gospel to the Israelites, the gospel that Paul calls a minister of the circumcision that pertains to earth, that gospel is not based on the death of Jesus Christ. Sounds like a radical statement. I'm known for radical statements, but I back them up. It's because Peter at Pentecost tells them to repent of the death of Jesus Christ. The death of Christ to Peter was bad news. Yet this other man, Paul, it's the centerpiece of something else.